Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
Happy New Year out there.
Hey.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year in here, too.
That's right.
Oh, my
exactly.
gosh.
Where's our air horn and buzzers?
I know.
I don't know about you, John, but I think I'm all partied out by now.
That's a funny hat you got on, John.
Well, we ended the year with a Master Gardener graduation, and we had a huge chunk of holidays in the middle of that. And now we're back and rolling. So, Jan, tell us about our new Master Gardener class out
they're
there.
They're awesome. We had 17 people graduate, and, you know, it's a culmination of, 14 months of starting with classroom activity, and then you get out and dig in the dirt, and that's where that's where things really, really happen. And then you go to graduation and you get your official badge. And I think most master gardeners would agree that that's one of the best parts. But we had a wonderful party. We had over 100 people in attendance with, you know, families coming to celebrate with the new master gardeners. And then we right behind that, we've got a whole new group of interns that are coming up. And they're ready to go dig in the dirt now.
And
start pruning and rose garden before long and working at Ascarity and AgriLife and out here at the Desert Garden, Chihuahuan Desert Garden. So we're really excited to have all these new people.
And just to put things into perspective, we ask our Master Gardener trainees to dedicate 62 hours of volunteer service at our extension programs in order to become a certified Master Gardeners. And this year, we actually had an intern who completed over 400 hours.
I know.
And we had a recertifying Master Gardener who completed over 1,000
I know. You talk about setting the bar high, kind of high. And, you know, as a seasoned Master Gardener, you hope that you are a mentor to many people and an example. And I thought, I thought I was hot stuff when I was an intern 10 years ago, and I did 250, I think, and that was, you know, I thought that was really good, but one of our MGs just really knocked it out of the park, and of course, guess what? We have our eye on her, and you know, and a lot of these people have so many talents that bring that come to the association, and as far as leadership capability and you know, there's a lot that goes on in our association, and so that we can be out there to offer you all that research-based information. That's the core of what we are. That's our purpose.
Right.
And so we're excited to have all those new people to share and get out and spread the word.
Exactly. Very good. And congratulations to those 24 interns that are just now starting their volunteer hours. So if you're out there and you see them at any of our outreach events, make sure you say hello to them.
Sure.
They are learning while they go along with mentors of Master Gardeners. So congratulations to all. Congratulations to everybody that had such a fruitful year.
It's been a great year in Master Gardening.
Appreciate all of that.
Nothing like that. The people is beyond all the knowledge about plants and stuff. It's a wonderful family.
Right.
And, you know, it's truly a passion for me. And I know that a lot of the people in the association feel the same way. And what better way to start the year than with that fresh outlook and perspective on things.
And like true Master Gardeners, you're not going to rest on your laurels. You're already looking through your seed catalogs for next spring. All right. Now's
getting
the time
to propagate.
Now's the time to prepare that. And of course, during the winter, you're starting to get in your seed catalogs on your mailing list, and you're thumbing through those, and you're getting antsy and you're wondering what to plant. And then there's never enough room in your home garden to plant everything that you want to try. So very important. Use all that information that's in those catalogs as well. Full of just a lot of information, whether you're growing vegetables and you need to stay away from certain pests and diseases coming up. If you have a nematode issue, you want to stay away or get select nematode resistant plants as well. There's a lot of keys, a lot of information in those little synopses out there
on that seed packet. Exactly.
And those catalogs as well. So you want to use all of those.
And I think back to when I was an intern, and like I said, that's been 10 years ago, and there's so much more available out there on the internet. And so you can Google that individual type of cultivar of tomato, for instance, to see which ones to plant. And if you are of a mind to propagate your own, be thinking about it, because here towards the end of this month, out in our garden, in our brand new greenhouse that we're so proud of, we will start to propagate all of our tomatoes for our the gardens that we, you know, that we have within the association. And so that's a time to do that. It's a time of preparation. I mean, you know, it's not too early to be starting to till that soil on those pretty days, pretty winter days, and get out there and get your garden ready to go. But you've got to plan it. You have to know what you want to do. And we always say never plant more than your spouse or your partner can take care of. And I think that's some pretty good advice, because we want to set you up for success, not frustration.
Right.
And it's, and you, if you overdo, you really can get yourself in.
Start out small.
Start small, and you can always grow into it. And that's one of the joys. And our Ascarity Garden is open. And if you want to stop by on Mondays and Thursdays to see what's going on out there, it's open to the public, and we were more than happy to give you a brief tour and show you what we're getting ready to do, because we're planting right now too in all of our gardens.
Definitely not there. They have a lot of winter cole crops, cauliflower, broccoli, as well as a lot of
kale and
leafy crops as well. Mm-hmm. So it's
and wonderful. Many of our herbs are, you know, they we don't have that freeze problem, except maybe with basil, but right. A lot of the oregano and your parsley is still going strong, and so those things are all available. Mm-hmm. This is a great time for cilantro, because that is a cool weather herb, and of course one of the favorites here in El Paso. So you can grow your cilantro and get it ready, so when you harvest your tomatoes, you'll have some to chop up and put in your salsa. But there's just lots of opportunities, and the seed catalogs are wonderful just to browse through them, or you can do it online as well.
Most definitely.
Then they've got a lot of wonderful techniques that have kind of come along too to kind of help extend the season and protect against frost and keep the moisture in the ground. Mm-hmm. And different things like that. So there's a lot of products out there, and some of them are stuff that you probably got laying around your house that you can use that'll help you out.
Well, I laugh. I've had people say, well, you know, Jan, do you have a greenhouse? And I do. I have a little pop-up one, and then I have a regular greenhouse, but I never have enough room for everything. And the common bed sheet is a wonderful prop to have, if
or
you will,
blanket.
To cover, or a blanket of some sort. Avoid the plastic, because it just, you know, there's no insulating value.
Unless you develop that dead layer.
Right, and those kinds of things really are helpful, especially for those great big pots that you just cannot move into a greenhouse, even if you have it. So save those portable greenhouses for your smaller things. And it looks like a tent city in my backyard during the winter, but that's okay.
Right.
Then when I uncover things in the spring, they're just still going strong.
You got all your homeless plants.
Yes.
tenement.
My homeless plants, exactly. I've been able to salvage hibiscus that way. I have hibiscus that, you know, bloom all winter long, and I pull it off. I pull it off on those warm days. Make sure that you check the temperatures at night and cover them back up. But sheets and a couple of bungee cords do wonders.
Exactly.
In the winter, it's been my experience. So there's lots to do. There's always chores, if you will, in the garden, but
and really not. I've seen people, and I think it's they have really good intentions, but I've seen like blue tarps over the base of palm trees, and it almost looks like a scarf type thing, because it's not doing anything. It's not protecting that center bud from that palm tree.
Right.
That's really what you're looking to protect. The outer portion, that's fine.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like when you're looking at that, kind of know exactly what you're trying to protect. And really what you're trying to protect on your small herbaceous plants is going to be that root ball.
The root ball.
So
that's where the riot is.
Concentrate right there at that soil level. And if that crown stays alive, then you have some top growth that has kind of died off, it'll grow back, but kind of concentrate on that as well. Your container plants, just like in the summertime, if they're not insulated or you don't have a pot within a pot system, they're getting that direct cold air hitting them, and not so much of a buffer as plants that are in the ground as well. So you want to protect those a little bit tighter, closer than plants that are actually in your garden beds.
Well, and I think that I know a lantana is a good example to me. And I have a bunch in the front yard, and this time of the year it looks tacky. But I don't care because that dieback on the top is serving as a blanket.
Right.
So it's mulching, it's keeping that root ball warm. And I really try to make sure that when, on a really cold night, not that we've had that many, but that I get out there and water because that in and of itself, and we've talked about that many times, it seems like it's kind of counterproductive, but it protects the cells of those plants and that scientific horticulture talk, but it works. Right. So, those are just things that you can do. And, I'm always saying that during this time of the year, we're coming out of dormancies. Master gardeners are coming out of dormancy after the Christmas holiday and stuff. Exactly. But we all need that rest, and so do our plants.
Yeah.
So and don't panic.
No, definitely. And I know that sometimes you get antsy and you want to go out there and trim something, like whether it's your lantana, the Tacomas also have the dieback too. You don't want to go out there and start, pruning things away. It's very hard, especially if you're somebody that likes to go out there with your
pruners. You're a tidy-heidi.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello. I understand that.
That's why, I'm surprised we have bangs. We're also kind of like continuously kind of trim
chop,
them.
Chop,
to be able to do that. So fight the power to do that. If you have some mulch from your large mature trees or leaves that have fallen off, keep them as mulch.
Yes. They're going to break down and feed. The nutrients in there are just invaluable.
Definitely. And you'll know when your plants start breaking dormancy and start seeing those leaves coming out. Oh. So just be a little bit patient. Get out there and get some exercise.
Sure.
Listen to our archive shows because that's definitely a time to start pruning your dormant deciduous trees as well. So keep an eye on that and
That's something I always have to stop and think about and remind myself of. I was looking at my pomegranate tree, which, of course, does not have a single leaf on it right now, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm going, okay, now, what am I going to prune and what am I, because I had, as we've talked about, I had a bumper crop of pomegranates last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding it's kind of every other year, so I'm anxious to see if I pruned incorrectly and will I have another bumper crop. There's a piece of me that says I hope not because I worked so hard at them. I still have juice and arrows that are, stored
maybe
away.
Maybe you thinned them out enough, you're going to get bigger, maybe fewer, but
bigger pomegranates. And
we'll have a pomegranate competition.
Oh, my gosh.
Best in show.
That's what we can do. Come look. We're easily entertained.
It'll be here before we know
that's
it.
That's for sure. And before the heat hit. That's one of the nicest parts of gardening in El Paso. We get to do it year-round. Because when May comes, strap yourself in.
Right, exactly.
Make a big difference. So enjoy it while you can. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And we hope that we brought some positive energy, some nice thoughts for a fruitful garden in 2020. Can you believe it?
No.
Already, here we are. So we hope that you take the best step forward in your garden.
Absolutely.
In 2020, enjoy that. And we sure enjoy bringing the show to you every week. We want to thank you for listening today and thank Oscar Gonzalez for engineering and Dee Wu for producing our show today. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.